I'm here in the KRFY studios with Lake Ponderay School District Superintendent Dr. Becky Meyer and High School Counselor Jessica Lippe. Good morning. Welcome, Dr. Meyer and Jessica Lippe.
Thank you, Susie.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you here. We have an important subject to talk about. We want to talk about the upcoming school-hosted Student Safety Summit that's coming up April 17th, starting at 5:30 at the high school. And it's an important event. Why don't we just get into that? Either one of you can tell us why this is happening. And I heard that it's the first time the school district has presented this. So let's talk about that.
Thank you, Susie. The reason that we're doing it is we did hear feedback, not only from staff, but from parents that really want to know what should they do when they come across these things. And really, we feel like this is a parent education forum. This is an opportunity for parents to come in and be able to talk to experts about what's going on with students nowadays. Go ahead.
Well, you mentioned these things. I'm wondering, what are we looking at?
So the flyer, and I'm sure that folks listening probably have received the flyer or seen the article in the Daily Bee. We've done a lot of posters around town, and we just really want as many parents as possible, as young as your kids are, all the way up until as old as you want. We want all the parents in the community to really be aware. It has social media content, what sort of apps, what sort of behavior, what sort of things are happening on social media. There's things that are hidden apps and things that parents may not be aware of that we've come across. Then there's also some social-emotional issues, which Jess is going to talk about, that are going on nowadays. And then the other piece we have is an ISP, Idaho State Patrol. Jess Stennett is going to come talk about fentanyl and some other drugs that are readily available in our community. Unfortunately, a couple years ago, before I came back to the community, we did lose a student to an overdose with fentanyl. And we have some current statistics and current information that we really want parents to be aware of.
So it sounds like we're talking about outside forces that are, I don't want to use the word attacking, but it sounds like they're being influenced by, that are barriers to a healthy development and growth in the students. And you're hosting this event for parents on the 17th. That will help parents identify and problem solve some of the things they're probably seeing with their children.
Right. And if they're not aware, if parents aren't aware that things are happening, they aren't there to help support their kids like they probably want to. So we really want this to be an opportunity for parents to have access to current information and be able to talk to these experts.
And it is always changing. Jessica Lippe, you moved from the middle school over to the high school recently as a counselor. What are you seeing? Maybe even we can touch momentarily on the difference between middle school and high school. And it's an ever-changing and ever-evolving situation, I'm sure. New things all the time.
It is always changing, and the world that our teens are growing up in is vastly different than the world that I grew up in as a teenager and that a lot of our parents experienced themselves. And so I think having access to this information helps parents to realize maybe that some of the things that they're experiencing with their adolescent teens at home are not unique to just them. It opens up that conversation and it helps them to get some information so they can really parent or help their teens through this difficult time from a place of compassion and empathy and not a place of fear. Because what we know is that our teens, our children, need us to respond in a very calm way. And some of these things are really scary and very risky.
Right. Dr. Myers mentioned fentanyl a few years ago, and we lost a student. And, children go to school, or at least parents send their children to school to get an education. And I'm thinking these things are almost so overwhelming that it becomes a strong barrier to that education. Mm-hmm. How does a student coming into the high school say, and just the social pressures of bullying, not even to mention some of the other things, the social media stuff, what do you see? How does a student stay healthy and contributing to their, their education? What can we do?
Well, I think you're right. It is different what we see at the middle school versus the high school level with social media and technology at the middle school level, what I saw a lot of was really relational aggression with it. Students using, you know, their social media or their technology to really kind of earn their social power. And, you know, that's a really difficult thing to navigate as somebody whose main job it is during that stage of development to kind of separate from their parents and then spend as much time with their friends as possible. So it's coming at them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They don't have any break from it. And it takes a very emotional toll and a, you know, cognitive toll on them.
So go ahead, Dr. Meyer.
Well, just one thing I wanted to add to what Jess said is that if we can help build up the protective factors for our students, and we start really young, I mean, when they're in kindergarten, parents start when they're born. All parents want to do the best for their kids. Mm-hmm. I really, truly Absolutely. Believe that. Yeah. And once students do come into our system in kindergarten, we start to build up what are called protective factors. We're trying to work on their feeling of themselves. How do they identify with their emotions, be able to tell people what, you know, be able to say what they're feeling. I'm sorry you hurt my feelings, and be able to really be able to identify for them with their peers. And you talked a little bit about bullying. That's something we face in society in general, but if we can try to stem that, stop mm-hmm. that in when they're in elementary school and teach them the right words to interact with people gain their self-confidence, I like to say self-efficacy, how effective they feel as a person, and really, like Jess said, be able to start to grow into themselves as a human and what they stand for, what their character, what their values are, so influenced by the parents. And the parents, though, often, myself included, when I had teenagers, you go through a stage where you don't know, like Jess said, they're starting to developmentally pull apart and identify away from their family, but they still need their parents. Hold mm-hmm. on to your kids. It's a great book that really has to do with how do you still keep connection with your kids while letting them grow up and, you know, and go on to the next stage of life. What we really want to do is provide information for parents to help them this night to be able to have access to resources and support and be able to ask questions they might have as they're going through this time with their kids.
I think you just mentioned something that I noticed. I've noticed all along is that as children become teenagers, they want that independence and they try to pull away. And so parents give them a huge amount of space. But what they really want is to know their parents are still there, 100%. And so it's something that parents need to learn. Don't pull away. Find a new avenue for working with your or being with your child. And so some of this stuff will be covered on the evening of the 17th with the Student Safety Summit.
Mm-hmm. Right. And one way that we'd love to have more parents there, kids with any age, because we have free childcare that we have, and we're going to also offer dinner, some sandwiches, veggies, fruit, water, and cookies. So if that doesn't get you in, I don't know what will.
We'll
and that was provided by Panhandle Health District. The Opioid Recovery Settlement Grant is how that's being paid for.
Okay. And is this a program that is being used in other school districts? Is it a set kind of program, or how are you putting it together yourself?
Well, I had two of the speakers before in my last district, and we have Paul Ferrano and Lonnie Whiteman, and they work with the task force, but it's like child cyber, something with online and cybersecurity. And you can see in the flyer we sent out, it says sextortion, which sounds like a very crazy word, but it is very scary and it is happening in our area. So we want parents to be aware of it. They are experts and they've dealt with cases. So they're the ones that are going to talk to families about that and apps that are on the phones that parents may not even know about. They might look like a calculator and they're really a different type of app. So we really just want to increase awareness for families. And then the other presenter we have is Jess Stennett, and he's an Idaho State Police, and he is an expert in fentanyl and then the other certain drugs. There's some mushrooms and other things that are going around, meth and different things in our community. He can give the parents up-to-date information about what is available in our community, what does it look like, how to be aware, and what questions to ask your students, your kids. Sorry, I keep saying students because there are students, but they're your kids as parents.
I, you know, kind of leading into this, wanted to talk to different people within the school who work with students, not just teachers, but our student resource officer and our administrators, just to kind of see, you know, are the things that I'm seeing in my office the same as what you're seeing and what you're dealing with? And there's everything from, you know, students who or kids who make friends on gaming sites and are using the gaming chat to communicate with those people. And sometimes those are things that parents don't, we might not think to monitor, or like Dr. Meyer said, the apps that are disguised as something else, using emojis in text messages to communicate something that wouldn't necessarily be flagged, or that, you know, you wouldn't clue into to think that that's what that means.
I have to pull back from this thought that we're hearing and we're talking about is, what's the point of an outside source infiltrating and kind of influencing children? What are they gaining? Children don't have that kind of money that they would spend on something. I'm not savvy enough with apps and the whole new social media stuff. I mean, Facebook is it for me. So, and even that is questionable these days, but it's a bigger picture is what I'm trying to
get at. It's hard to keep up with the apps and what, you know, what teens are using to communicate.
Yeah. I think for families, if parents come, they can really hear what the experts have to say. Like, why are app manufacturers, people that are creating these apps, what is the intention? What's the point? And when you look at the drug dealing, and that always comes around to money and how somebody is making a profit at some point, I really want the families to be able to hear the people present about the sextortion mm-hmm. and grooming and things that are the intention of online pieces. And I don't want to, I really am not trying to scare people and overreact, Susie. I just really need for families to be aware. And when I talk to parents nowadays, they just aren't quite sure. You know, Jess and I both shared that. It really is just, I feel like it's our responsibility to make sure when we're seeing these things in the school community that we want to be able to, and some parents may already know this, but I feel like we have a responsibility to let parents know that this is going on. And I feel like this is just our part of our duty and responsibility in the school district.
Yep. When you think about it, you have a child, you raise them, you protect them. I mean, a brand new baby, you're all about protecting them, raising them. And then all of a sudden this starts happening and you have hopes and dreams. You want your child to be healthy and safe, mostly safe and healthy. But what some of these things, these challenges, these issues we're talking about, how do they derail a child's movement forward? And how, what kind of barriers do they present for a good education? Because they're really at school. At that point in time, their brains are primed for education mm-hmm. and all the parts of that that can, you know, set their life on track. So what are the, what happens when these kind of things become so big in a child's life?
Well, I'm going to let Jess answer that. I just want to say Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if people know about that, there's just a lot of steps before you get up to the education part. And what our staff is very good at knowing is that, you know, shelter, security, all of that needs to be in place for them. And Jess talked earlier about the bond with other adults. That all needs to be in place before their brain is even open and willing to take in new information in education.
And yeah, I think that's a great way of putting it. The stress and the anxiety that these, you know, this technology creates in their lives really, you know, prevents their brains from getting to that place a lot of time where they can learn and where they can access what we're trying to teach them in the classroom, because their brain is somewhere else and there's constant information coming to them, constant interruptions coming to them. And, you know, having that impulse control to not have to respond or not think about what that message was that was coming in when your teacher was talking is a really hard thing to do, mm-hmm. right? Right. For anybody.
They perseverate. I mean, teens, as adults, when something happens, we can do that. Where all of a sudden we can't quit thinking about an issue that's come up. And just think, when you're teenagers and you're starting to figure out your own self and who you are and how your peers feel about you, if you don't, people put themselves back in that spot, then they have this, keeps dinging. Mm-hmm. The phone just keeps dinging and dinging. Definite issue. What Jess talking about, but we want parents to understand what happens with them, their teens, and be able to have the information to support their families moving forward.
And I think you're totally right, because it's something that maybe we as adults don't notice so much. We're able to put that aside. So I think it's really important to remember to have empathy for those students, for our kids, because it really is a hard thing for them. And if we can have empathy for them as they're going through that, I think that that is probably the most important thing.
You can tell Susie she's the counselor, because she's so wanting to step into the shoes and make sure that we as parents can step into our kids' shoes too. I think something that she said earlier that's very important is that not only after the COVID and there was social isolation, I've talked about on your program before, social isolation, and we saw loneliness go up, anxiety go up, depression go up, suicide ideation go up. These are all issues that we will be talking about. And there's also going to be a question and answer period so that the counselors will be available and all the speakers. And there's going to be a way for parents to write in anonymous questions and put in a box. And I'll just read questions off so parents can get some questions answered while they're there as well. But back to after the COVID and that happened. And then also all the social media, you think about, they don't have to delay any satisfaction, gratification like we did. On our day, you had to go to a phone and get to your house and lift it up. I mean, everything is just constantly coming after you. It really is there's a ton of research on how it's putting the brains of children in a different spot than we've ever seen before. And that's, I think, what Jess was talking about earlier, like we need to have empathy. And I really just want parents to understand what's going on and how to talk to their kids and support them to have healthy development. Mm-hmm.
Two words came to mind in listening to you talk. I just first want to remind our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY. I'm Susie Prez, and we're talking with Dr. Myers from the superintendent, Dr. Becky Myers, of the Lake Ponderay School District, and high school counselor there, Jessica Lippe. And we're talking about the upcoming, amongst other things, we're talking about our students here in our area, but also the upcoming Student Safety Summit that is scheduled for April 17th at the high school. But two words that have come up as we talked was anxiety. I mean, that's actually causes real physical. And a young child's brain is developing still until what, they're 21 or something, or 28. Mm-hmm. And the synapses and the neural pathways probably get pretty interrupted by the constant, as you say, bombardment. And just the whole empathy factor, really caring for them. And they need nurturing at this point in time. More than obviously they need it when they're little, but just as much as when they're in these middle school years, middle and high school years. So let's continue talking about that. Earlier we were talking before we started the interview about some of the things that they'll learn at this summit, the parents will learn. But the things that can intervene and intercept some of this bombardment, and you mentioned one trusted adult in their life and the protective factors that need to hopefully can be put into place.
I think we never know when our teens are going to reach out to us. Some of them are, always externalizing their emotions, and some of them are keeping it in and not saying anything. And there's no right way or wrong way, but I think when they do open up, it's super important that we are there and that we are present for them when they decide that it's time.
Mm-hmm. And protective factors, really, Susie, are what in their life do they have that they can go to and count on, so that when they do have the bombardment from social media, they do have peers intervening, when they have stress, could be homework, mm-hmm. tests, college applications, anything in their life. It could be an offer of drugs or alcohol. It could be an offer of something physical that they don't want. So when you have all this coming at you, what are the students' protective factors? What is the child's protective factors? And I was saying earlier, we really try to start young and work each stage, each grade level and up through, in collaboration with parents because they provide that at home. But how do we help them build up their protective factors so they know that they have a response, a place to go to, instead of going to an unhealthy behavior?
And I think, anxiety and stress are, reported at higher rates now than ever before. But I do think that it's also important to remember that, experiencing distress is not something that's totally detached from being mentally well. We need to experience some distress in our lives. That's what helps us grow, and that's what helps us, it's change, and we have to have change in order for growth to happen. And so, we don't want our students not to experience distress, but we need to be mindful of, is the anxiety and the stress that they're under doing harm? And when the anxiety and stress starts to do harm, that's when you know that it's a mental health concern.
When you say do harm, how do you know?
Well,
you see behaviors change.
Yeah, maybe they're not spending as much time with their friends. Maybe they're not doing the things that they used to do. This new thing is taking up all of their time and they've withdrawn.
Yeah. And there could be self-harm. It could be isolation, could be stressed to where they're not functioning. Mm-hmm. And just like Jess said, we really do need to teach perseverance and grit and people to work through these. Because as adults, we all know that that's part of life, that change and growth is really, like you were saying, is really part of life. But I really want families to be able to know what protective factors, what supports does my child have in life that they can turn to, whether it's the school counselors, whether it's a healthy peer group, an extracurricular or a co-curricular activity? Is it some sort of spirituality base that they as a family can count on? Is it healthy activities outside in our environment? Mm-hmm. And really just thinking like building that up for our students so they know where to turn to have that. And parents are the ones that can help them to identify those.
Looking back, I know that in the elementary schools used to have school counselors. I don't know if you've brought those back. Oh, good. Yay. I know that Duso the Dolphin was a big part of the school counselors for very young children. Mm-hmm. But Duso the Dolphin helped them to learn to talk and have a voice for their feelings. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying is along the way, those things changed, but it seems like what you're also saying, and that's why you're having this student safety summit, is it's rapid. It's rapidly changing, mm-hmm. and the students are, I don't want to use the word suffering, because as you said, Jessica, there's stressors in our life all the time. We have to learn to have tools to deal with that, mm-hmm. but it's different now. It's mm-hmm. very different than mm-hmm. even 10 years ago. And what ages are you seeing these factors come into play?
Uh-huh. Well, I think, if we're talking about, adolescence from a psychological perspective, that starts at the age of 11. And so, that's sixth grade, and so really technology and that big developmental shift and what they're experiencing starts in elementary school. So the more we can do in those earlier years leading up to that big change, and help to delay the, use of some of these things, I think our students will and our children will benefit.
And, Susie, a lot of the younger parents that hopefully are listening to this and show up with really young kids, even if you just are pregnant or you're going to have a baby, I really welcome you to come. Only because there's just a lot of the younger parents grew up with social media and, different generation. So the parenting is a little different. And I think sometimes older people, older parents such as ourselves, maybe have some bits of wisdom about setting some boundaries. You know, I recently had a parent tell me, we were talking about some cell phone issues, and I said, have you set some boundaries? Like from 5 to 7 is we put the cell phones away and we have dinner and we have talk time and we do an active walk together. And, oh, I can't do that. You know, parents, and I'm not trying to pigeonhole people into a spot and saying parents are doing the wrong thing, Susie, but I just think there's some awareness of some parenting skills that we maybe could help parents with also. Like, how can you help moderate this? Because I know myself of having 3 girls that have been teenagers, went through Sandpoint High School. You have to be the adult sometimes and really set the boundaries for them and make sure that they know this is, you're doing this for the right reason for them to grow up and have healthy boundaries themselves.
Yeah, so, as I mentioned earlier, I think they want that. Yeah. You just have to feel, as a parent, secure in instituting those boundaries. Yeah. And Jessica?
But yeah, warmth and structure, right?
Warmth and structure.
Okay. Awesome. I do want to make sure that also the community knows, Susie, we want every parent in the community. We've put up flyers at the private schools, Christian schools, Waldorf, everywhere. We've put up flyers, sent out emails. There's supposed to be an article in the Daily Bree. It's a week from today at Sandpoint High School. You can come if you have young children and you want to put them in the childcare. That's going to be in the Sandpoint High School library. And they're going to be people in there for childcare. You can come as early as 5. There'll be dinner, like I said, provided. And we really want to make sure as many folks, charter school, all parents in the entire community. And we've invited West Bonner County over in Priest River. And we've invited Boundary County at Bonner's Ferry. We'd like all the parents to be there, as many as possible.
Are you ready for 2,000 parents?
I would love it if there was 2,000 parents. So
that would be a good problem to have. Yes, it would.
Again, that is the school-supported and presented Student Safety Summit. We've been talking about the changing world that we live in and how we can support our children. They are still children in high school. Mm-hmm. They act like adults, maybe. But and this sounds like the perfect thing for parents. I'm sure that parents don't know what to do some of the time, and it's daunting. And as you say, to make boundaries, they don't even know that they can. So this will help them quite a bit.
Like Jess said earlier, to know that they're not alone. Uh-huh. This night is a parent education forum, so it's not to bring students to. This is just for parents so that they can hear other parents' questions, they can learn information, talk to each other. And it really is not a place to bring the students. That could be at a later time. But this is just to be able to give the information to parents.
And it might be a springboard for a new aspect of parenting. And our world here in North Idaho mm-hmm. could have support systems all over the place for these kids that we don't even understand or know yet. And again, that is April 17th, starting at 5 p.m. But if you have young children, you can come at 5 o'clock. There will be dinner. There's child care provided. It's at the high school. And do people, should they call to sign up or just show up?
Just show up.
Okay. So you have several presenters and are you going to have breakout sessions where people can talk to each other?
Yes, we'll have that available as well as question and answers and all of the counselors in the whole district. Well, you said earlier, we have elementary counselors that come back again and we're even adding another half-time counselor next year, another elementary counselor half-time. So
great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anything else you want to say about this subject of our students and how we can help them move through these years into adulthood?
Well, we just welcome you. We hope as many parents as possible come. We did have a question if we were going to be able to offer it over Zoom. And because there is 2 breakout sessions, we're going to try to record it. We aren't going to do it live because we'll have to switch to the other breakout session. So we are going to try to record it if you are not in town or not available on Wednesday, April 17th at 5:30. But we'll try to do that. That's my best guess of what we can offer, but please try to come in person if you can.
And Jessica?
I just hope to see as many people there as possible. I think it's a great thing that our district is doing this for our community.
Right. And I have a thought on this. I think you're going to be doing it again in the fall, maybe even in the summer. I think the need is evident and right in front of us. So Thank you for all the good, hard work you do, keeping our children at the schools, providing education, but also the support that they need, the protective support that they need in this ever-changing world that we're facing right now. So Dr. Becky Meyer, Superintendent, and Jessica Lippe, counselor at the high school, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Susie.
Great information. All right.